Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Business Marketing Club, or BMC. I'm Dave Stevens, I'm a business marketer and I'm chair and co-founder of the BMC. The Business Marketing Club is a not-for-profit community network of business marketing professionals and people interested in business marketing. It's run by business marketers for business marketers, and we provide face-to-face and virtual event meetups, training, podcasts, blogs, newsletters, mentoring, social media groups, community groups, and gatherings for business marketers. Today, we have almost 5,000 participants across the world. If this is the first time you've joined us, you're very welcome. Check us out at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. And if you've been with us before, well, welcome back. It's good to have you along again. Classic business marketing often asserts that business buyers are rational, and consequently, the procurement process is structured to eliminate bias. However, independent business researcher Simon Hayhurst believes that he has evidence that this is only really true once a seller reaches the procurement end game, i.e. after the final shortlist is drawn up. I'm delighted to say Simon joins us now. Simon, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you, David. Glad to be here.
It's great to have you. And you're going to explain to us, I hope, a bit more about how business marketers can re-examine those MarCom strategies and get themselves on more long lists and ultimately make more sales.
Yeah, that's right.
So before we dive into that, though, I'm intrigued about you. Tell us a bit about you and your background.
Okay, in brief, I've worked in business-to-business marketing for over 25 years now. 10 years as an account director on the communications agency side, 10 years as a client, and the last 5 years in business-to-business research. I've been running my own independent research consultancy since the start of 2021.
Great. Well, it looks like you're absolutely the person to speak to about this. So what research have you done into the B2B buying process?
I have a number of clients who've asked me to look into this for their particular sales funnels, their particular selling situations. And one thing I've noticed over time is there's two types of thinking that go on when a procurement process takes place, what I call longhand thinking and shorthand thinking. Shorthand thinking happens at the top of the funnel. Longhand thinking is further down when, as you say, the procurement team get the buyer group together and everyone goes through the minutiae line by line. And what the research has suggested is that business marketeers need to think very carefully about their MarCom strategy, their brand strategy, their activation strategy, to make sure these two kinds of thinking are taken on board when they're formulating those strategies.
Okay. And so you've got these two decision-making processes. Tell us a bit more about them. How is it that they're different? How is it that marketers can use them?
Okay. So if you imagine that typically a business-to-business purchase decision goes through five classic phases.
Okay. So
the problem awareness phase, the information search phase, the alternative evaluation stage, the decision stage, and then the post-purchase review.
Right.
Now, procurement tend to get involved round about the alternative evaluation stage, the decision-making stage. What's interesting, what came out of the research I've been doing with a number of clients, is that they're very rarely involved at the top end of the funnel, at the problem awareness stage, at the information search stage. And the research showed that there's a couple of reasons for this, but chiefly, procurement teams are phenomenally overworked and horribly under-resourced, and they do not have time to do a whole of market review when someone in the organization says, we have a business problem for which we need an external vendor to come up with a solution. Typically what happens is whoever in the business realizes that there is a problem that needs solving is the person often charged with doing the thinking of in terms of who has a solution for this particular problem. So to take an example, it might be the chief information security officer is aware that their company has been struck with a ransomware demand.
Right.
And it means that their cybersecurity software hasn't been working as well as it is. They've had a huge mess to sort out. And so they say, right, okay, we probably need to review who we use for our cybersecurity software because our current ransomware protection clearly isn't adequate. So the CISO might speak to their head of security operations, the team that work with them. And the kind of question they ask at this stage, the problem awareness, the information stage, is who have we heard of who's got a good solution for this problem?
Yeah.
Or has anyone worked with a good cybersecurity ransomware prevention provider before now? Or even take a look at Google and just see who's out there, who's got a good solution problem. And that's quite an important thing for B2B marketers to understand, because very often the thinking at that stage is done very, very quickly. It's top of mind thinking, and it's surprisingly lacking in rigor. As I say, it's who have we heard of, who have we worked with, who do we know of? Think about yourself. If you're looking for a solution for a problem in your personal life, you go onto Google, you type in whatever it is you're looking for. You very, very rarely go beyond the first page of answers.
Yeah.
And it's surprising that in B2B, where you think everything is thorough and rational and detailed, people rarely do the equivalent of going beyond the first page in their own minds. And the influences, the people who realize there's a problem to be solved themselves are fiendishly overworked and under-resolved, under-resourced, and they don't have the time to do a whole of market review. They tend to trust the buying group to do the whole of market review once they put forward the names of the people they think they might want to buy from. Conversely, the buying group tends to think the subject matter experts themselves have done a whole of market review. But it doesn't seem to happen. Top of the funnel, the problem awareness stage is very shorthand thinking. Who have we heard of? Bottom of the funnel, that's where the much more detailed questions about how efficacious is your software? What are your licensing costs? What are system integration challenges that you might have to get under? What is your post-implementation staff training like? What are your ongoing license fees? All those kinds of detailed questions that they tend to get asked at the end. But at the top of the process, the question that gets asked is much, much broader. Who have we heard of who's got a good solution to this problem?
Okay, so it sounds like then we should focus a bit now, Simon, on this shorthand thinking. So what should business marketers do to respond to this this particular thinking process?
Okay. So it's vital that B2B marketeers keep in mind that to be on the short list, you first need to be on the long list. When the long list is drawn up, the long list qualification questions are very broad. As I say, who has the best solution for this problem? Not who offers the best systems integration with their lowest monthly license fees, whose software has the lowest latency post-implementation. That all comes much later on. The question marketers have to think about is getting themselves known for having the best solution to the problem. Once whoever's drawing up that long list, they get to around six candidates max, the research shows, they tend to stop looking. And as I say, they then trust the final buyer unit to kick the tires to find the very best end provider.
Okay, so what then?
Okay, so as we all know, business-to-business marketing budgets tend to be very restricted. We cannot chase every rainbow. Mm. So to get on a long list, your brand name needs to be as salient, i.e. as close to top of mind as you can get it. Because if you aren't in the top six most memorable brands for having a solution to the problem at hand, then you're unlikely to get on the long lists. Because as we've seen, the people drawing up the long list don't put too much thought into who is on it.
Yeah.
It tends to be easier to be top of mind, famous, if you like, for one thing than 20. Therefore, the research suggests that brand managers need to go broad in their appeals to get on the long list. Focus their brand advertising on a broad benefit the market wants to buy, rather than fragment your comms with a series of sub-benefits that might not suit individual buyers. It's therefore incumbent on B2B marketers to hone an overarching proposition that basically answers this question. Give me one good reason why I should buy your product for the broadest number of potential buyers. The answer to the statement, give me one good reason why I should buy your product, is essentially your proposition.
Yeah.
A good proposition has three qualities, if you like. It needs to be relevant to the target audience, distinctive from what the competition are saying, and believably true, and ideally expressed in a single memorable sentence. Now, relevance is really important in B2B. Relevance comes from understanding what the key problem your target audience needs a solution for, and having a product that genuinely solves for it. In B2B marketing, if we are not solving for a key problem that our target audience have, then we are wasting our time and theirs. So we need to understand what the market wants us to solve for. That's where relevance comes in. Distinctiveness comes from understanding your competitor set. How do they position themselves with regards to solving for that particular problem? What claims are they making? If everyone in your sector is trying to be famous for the same thing, and in B2B that does happen rather a lot, then when long lists are drawn up, your position in that list will equate broadly to the size of your marcom spend, which is fine if you're the leader with the biggest budget, but not so good for the challenger. So if you can find something in your proposition that is distinctive, or at the very least express it in a distinctive, memorable way, when the shorthand thinking comes up, you're more likely to be top of mind. And if what you're top of mind for is relevant, it's likely to stay top of mind. And the third element we were talking about, truth, is also important at this stage. Truth comes from candidly understanding your own product, what it can do and what it can't do. And it's important that your overarching proposition has a core truth at its root, because if it isn't, and you're just BSing, it'll get you on a lot of long lists where the shorthand thinking happens. But when you get to the buying committee where the longhand thinking happens, they'll kick your tires and find out that the proposition wasn't actually true. You can't deliver on the thing you're famous for being good at. And you'll find you get on a lot of long lists and you don't close any sales, because when the longhand thinking kicks in, you're found out. Okay. So relevance and distinctive and truth are three absolutely core things for someone formulating their proposition.
Okay, so that's the shorthand thinking. I guess we're all a bit more familiar with the longhand thinking, but it's nonetheless worth asking the question, what is it that business marketers should do to respond to that?
Okay, so as we've seen at the latter stage of the buyer process, the broad-based proposition that got you on the long list is less applicable, because at this stage, the buyer group employed the longhand thinking where the questions of detail come up, to which a broad proposition isn't necessarily suited. The thing is about buyer groups is that they tend not to be homogenous. Members of the buyer group will often have their own individual purchase criteria. Sometimes the research shows that it's in direct competition with others in the buyer group. And so your sales approach needs to be prepped for that. So what's needed at this point is a more detailed understanding of the purchase motivators for each of the personas in the buying group, so that you, your sales team, are ready to talk to that persona about their own specific challenges. So CFO might primarily be motivated by not having to fork out ransomware fees, and so saving money that way. The CTO might be concerned about ease of systems integration, because once the cybersecurity software is loaded up, if that slows down all their processes, then that has other issues that then the COO will be upset with, because there's latency in the system, production can't work, and there's all sorts of knock-on issues. HR might be interested in primarily how easy it is to train in the management of this new system. There's lots of different people within the organization, even compliance, for example, if data security is an issue, might have their own issues. So having had an overarching proposition to get on the long list, to get on the short list, you need to have mini propositions for each of the buyer personas, which give you the advantage over your competition when the tires finally get kicked good and hard.
Okay. So that's kind of, it's largely about the sales process, but I think your research also talked about the balance between brand building and sales activation. So tell us a bit about that.
Yeah. Okay. So essentially, brand communications pent up demand, activation activity releases the pent up demand. Now, typically, only 5% of buyers are actually in market at any one time. No, generally means not now rather than not never. So by having constant brand activity in the background to help ensure your brand is near top of mind when the buyer comes into the market, it helps to pent up demand for the future. And this is, I think, the argument that marketeers have to have with their CFOs about why are we doing broad brush brand activity? Why aren't we just doing sales activation? The challenge with just focusing on sales activation is that very quickly you will run out of pent up demand to tap into. And when that happens, your leads dry up. And either you have to shout even louder to get noticed, which costs money, or you'll have to discount your product price in order to make more sales, which just knackers your margins. No marketeer wants to go to market claiming to be the cheapest in the market. That's not where any of us will make our margins. We'd like to be known to being good at things, not being cheap for things.
Yeah.
Known for being good at things is what gets you on the long list. And then being able to deliver on the good things is what gets you through the short list. And if you've got that reputation for being good at what you do, it helps you sidestep the challenges about cost. Because actually, and again, procurement managers told me this, they said, we're known as being demons. We're known as sharpening pencils and taking out our pens and everything else. But ultimately, the procurement managers that I spoke to said, we do not want to hire someone who is desperate for our business. Keen, yes, but not desperate. I hired them because they were desperate is not a conversation that a procurement manager wants to have. So stick to your guns. Go to market on being good at what you do, not cheap at what you do. Make yourself famous for that. And then when it comes to the tire king stage at the bottom of the funnel, have the evidence that you are good at it. And it will be easier to close the sale on a value proposition rather than a price proposition.
Okay, so we're coming to, I think, the end of our time in this interview. So if you were to sum up the findings of your research in a kind of couple of pithy sentences, how would it sound?
Okay, so my advice would be use simple, broad brand comms to get yourself top of mind for when a selling opportunity arises. A shorthand thinking stage for the people who don't spend that much time thinking about who the Then use detailed, focused sales activation activity to ensure every influencer in the final buying decision has everything they need to substantiate the decision to buy your product, the longhand thinking stage. I'd advise to research your proposition. You need to be certain that what you're going to market with is relevant and distinctive and credible. And then when you plan your comp, very, very roughly, you want to be putting 40% in brand comms, which boosts top of mind awareness for shorthand thinking, and 60% into activation for when the longhand thinking kicks in.
That's great. So, okay. Simon, if people have been intrigued by what you've been saying here, how can they get in touch with you to find out more?
Thank you for asking that, Dave. My website is hayhurstconsultancy.co.uk. Hayhurst, by the way, is H-A-Y-H-U-R-S-T. My email is simon@hayhurstconsultancy.co.uk. Or alternatively, you can usually find me hovering near the bar at the next London BMC meetup.
You can buy me a drink in exchange for the plug you've just been allowed to give. Simon, yes, thanks so much. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you, David. Thank you very much.
And that's all for this episode of the Business Marketing Club podcast. Thanks to my guest, Simon Hayhurst. And thanks to our technical person from Through the Eye, Alicia Gration. Thanks to you for listening. Do rate or review us if you can, and email me at davestevensnow@gmail.com if you'd like to be a speaker or offer feedback. There's more where this came from. Just go to businessmarketingclub.org.uk. I hope to see you again. Thanks for listening.